Thank you for coming. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Jean Shum, and I'm a very informal person, so you just shoot out anything that's on your mind anytime, please. What I hope that'll happen this morning is you'll just be aware of Operation Parent as an organization. There's a post. You'll understand the heart behind Operation Parent and how it can either help you as a parent or as a church. We work with a lot of different groups, but I thought I'd tell my story real quick just so you know why I'm here and what I'm doing. Operation Parent is about 11 years old now. It's an organization I started more out of desperation than anything else and just as a mom. I don't have a ton of credentials clinical after me other than raising five kids. So I'm just going to introduce you to my family. That's my husband, Walt, and this is our oldest son, Ryan, Amanda, Kelly, Chris, and Holly. And when this picture was taken, we always sent a family picture with a Christmas card, and I'm looking at that, and we're all smiling, and that is a joke, because not that we didn't all love each other, but things were not going well. Everybody, he was 19, 18, 16, 13, and like 10, 11. So they were all in these teen, preteen years. I'm this happy-go-lucky mom, but we were having issues. And I just wasn't prepared for raising teens and teenagers. I was living in the past, thinking all was well. Ryan was a walk-on football player for UK, and he got involved in a horrible fight that could have left about five young men dead. He got a call from an old high school friend on a weekend who had been at a party. I have no idea what was going on at the party. I believe a young lady was involved. My son wasn't at the party. He was at home with two other football friends. Got a call from an old high school friend, can you meet us at this gas station at like 1 a.m? You would think that's not a good idea. When Ryan pulled up with his buddies and got out of the car, there were kids waiting there in the shadows with baseball bats and a Rottweiler, and my son's buddy got out on the passenger side, and they just swung and hit him right across the head with a baseball bat and knocked him out. Then they swung at my son. He grabbed the baseball bat, threw it across the street. I don't know what all happened that night, but it turned into a felony offense, and Ryan could have spent about 20 years in jail, and got a ton of publicity because they were UK football players, and I wanted to hide from the whole thing. At the same time, Amanda is in this dating relationship that we totally don't get. It's pulling her away from the family. She's totally losing her identity. And my hands are just like this at night. My husband and I are laying in bed, and we're like, these are our first two kids. The three youngers are watching all this that's going on, and we don't know how to parent through it. In the midst of that summer, waiting for the trial to come, the superintendent of schools, my husband's on the school board at Oldham County, superintendent mails me this book called A Tribe Apart. And I don't know why, but I read it, and it changed my life. It's why I started Operation Parent. It was about a mother who was given permission to go into a high school and befriend like nine kids over the course of like 3 years. She had a couple middle school, couple freshmen, couple seniors. They came from traditional families, blended families, single parent families. And she writes their story. And it just opened my eyes like, oh my God, where have I been? It gives you that global perspective of what's going on in the world today. Now, this book has probably gotten a little bit old, but based on what I learned, I haven't seen anything change for the better. And the bottom line of the book was that our kids are crying out. They want to have a relationship with us. I didn't realize that. I felt pushed away. They kind of tell you at a certain age, you don't know anything. I'm kind of buying into that. But when I read the book, and I realized deep down these kids are so hungry for relationship with their parents, that it gave me that confidence to say, why am I sitting around feeling sorry for myself? I need to learn more. I need to understand their world so I can actually have a real conversation with them. Because there's a lot of parents in there that they're talking about, and I'm like, that was me. The parents are telling this woman. My mom and dad can fool them so easily. In fact, there was a quote from the book that just really caught on page 62. These are the kids telling this mom, we are not as innocent as you may think. You need to talk to us and watch us and be alert. It's very easy to fool you. It's very easy to lie to you. And parents need to be smarter about us and stop denying what is really going on. And that just grabbed me by the heart as a parent. And that told me I had a job to do. And so I instead of being this little scared mom, I was just like, I just kind of poured myself into learning. And I put this thing, my son's trial finally came at Oldham County to September 23rd. And we didn't know if what was going to come from it. And we couldn't even attend it because he was 19. We had to wait in another room. And so we were heading to the courthouse for the trial, and I told my husband, wait, I got to grab my devotional book. I haven't read it today. I grab it in my bedroom, and the name of it is When Trials Come. And I literally fell on the bed, and I read what this had to say. And it wasn't if trials come, it's when they come. This is what we're up against as parents or grandparents. They're out there, and we can't be shocked or thrown off course by it. Well, somehow we have to parent through that, and not, I was making it about us. I really wanted to hide it. But when it's blasted, it was that our trial was on the USA Today. I had media pull up to our house with cameras when I opened the door. I was just thrown in a whirl. I didn't know what was happening. So I literally, we were praying through the trial. All the charges were dropped. Ryan didn't do anything wrong. He defended himself. Some of the other boys were penalized. And this young man, which was his friend, he had to have emergency surgery. He had an orbital break. They put something in his head, and he went on to play for the Canadian Football League. So luckily no one died, but it was a horrific experience to go through, and it made me realize how quick life can change with one poor decision. They shouldn't have gone, but that's that teen brain, and you got to understand that they're going to make stupid decisions. So I've learned a lot since then. We got through it. But it really fired me up about how easy it is to lose our children just because we just don't know what we don't know. So what changed? I did. I learned what my role was as a parent. It wasn't to be their friend. It was to protect them. And that meant they aren't going to like me some of the time. And I wasn't used to that. I wasn't used to being strong-willed and all that kind of stuff. I was letting them tell me how things should roll out. And I'm like, nope, you're not going, you know. Listen to that alarm bell that we're blessed with as parents. I made lifestyle adjustments. We had kids living in the lower level, giving them a lot of privacy, stopped doing that. Everybody was upstairs. We always did family dinners as much as we could. Learned to get the liquor out of the house. Learned to call parents before I just believed that there was going to be a supervised party at somebody's house. We came up with what we called the 24-hour rule. It was our own deal, but it works amazingly. We told the kids, you're not doing anything if we don't get 24 hours advance notice. Because you need that time to check out, is this a legit event that they're asking to go to? You know, these are all hindsight things we learned, but God blessed me with 5 so I could tweak and get it a little bit better with 3rd, 4th, and 5th. I parent completely different than I did with the first two. I learned that I could raise my awareness. I could become educated on the teen culture. I learned that trust is earned. You don't just dole that out to your kids. You make them prove that they are trustworthy, and they earn that trust. And we miss that somewhere. We just think, here, you should have a car, you should be allowed to go, you should blah, blah, blah. No, it's not going to work that way anymore. And then I got energized. Instead of hiding, you know, I started talking to other parents. I realized I wasn't alone. So this is my little chart. You know, here I am before when I'm going through all this horrible stuff. Naive, I'm preoccupied. I'm unaware, I'm uneducated, I felt insecure as a parent, and I isolated myself because I didn't want anybody to ask me, hey, how's Ryan doing? I didn't want to even talk about it. And I'm like, this is stupid. I can become informed, I can become intentional. I did, just a little bit of awareness can change everything, and your kids notice that you're trying. I got educated, which empowers you naturally, and then I got networked. And as I read that book, A Tribe Apart, I just started writing things down. I'm like, there needs to be a place where parents feel safe to go when they don't know how to parent through an issue. And I don't care about all the academic stuff. You could bury yourself in following your kid academic. I'm worried about the social stuff and how do we develop their character and pay attention? How do we talk so they listen? All that stuff. And that's what I hope Operation Parent has become. So that's the heart and how it got started. And so after 10 years, you know, this thing has just been growing and growing and growing. It started with, I went to when my kids were still in high school, those two oldest kids, and we were in the dark pit of not knowing how to parent. I sat down with the guidance counselors at the school, and I just said, hey, we are really struggling with some of these issues here. And I told them what I had written them down. I had, my one kid, While we were home and asleep in bed, he asked if a friend could spend the night and they were going to go to church with us. And I'm thinking, that sounds great. The next morning, this tells you how old we are, my husband was leaving for work and he found a handwritten note on the driveway. And he said, you need to read this. And the buddy that had spent the night wrote a note before texting. And I'm reading this note and it's talking about how he and my son pushed my car out of the garage last night while we were asleep and went driving on the other side of the county all night long. My son was a month away from getting his permit. He didn't even have a permit, and he did that. And I'm reading this note in total, not my boy, you know. I'm just like, there's no way. We were here, you know. So we gave him a day or two to come clean on it, and he never said anything. So then when we approached him, he lied about it, right to our face. And that just took that knife, and it just twisted. I thought, I'm raising a criminal, you know. I was just devastated. And, of course, we took his options to even get his permit away for 6 months. We met with the other kids' parents and had to work through that. But that was an eye-opener, too. I got lots of stories, but we have limited time. Five kids give you a lot of material. So anyway, I sat with the guidance counselors at my kids' school, and I said, man, we're just missing the ball. Things are falling in our lap, and we're trying to react to them. You see 1,000 kids and hear from their parents. Would you keep a chart or a list of all the issues you deal with these families that aren't academic for me? Because I want to create some kind of a handout when you have a freshman in high school. It gives you a heads up this stuff's going on. So this was the list they came up with, which became the table of contents for a parent handbook. I didn't know I was going to create a handbook. I thought it was just going to be a little short, little two-page thing. But I just want to read you what. And this thing is updated all the time. This is what your typical school counselors are dealing with. Smartphones and the internet, social media and apps, cyberbullying, sexting and pornography, alcohol, marijuana, nicotine, prescription, over-the-counter drugs, heroin, huffing, the choking game, meth, self-injury, anxiety, depression, lying, that was mine, eating disorders, self-esteem, sneaking out, human trafficking, suicide, aggressive behavior, dating and relationships, sexual activity, sexual abuse, dating violence, pregnancy, STDs, sleepovers, LGBT, blended families, divorce, family violence, driving, drunk driving, unsupervised parties, legal issues, bullying, prom, spring break, and school violence. It's like 40-something, yeah. And I'm just like, no wonder we as parents can't keep up with all this. This stuff's changing, too, in the way that this stuff goes on. Some of these issues have been around a long time, but the way they come out is different. So after 30 days, I said, stop the list. That's enough, you know. And we went to work and did work on what did the experts have to say about it. And all I wanted to do was give parents an easy way to just have a heads up that this stuff's out there, just let you know what are the trends, what are the misconceptions, what are the warning signs, and what are some tips that the experts give. And that's what this book does. It's just a heads up, raise awareness. But after the book went out, it started getting picked up nationally by groups all across the country. So now we're in about 40 states. And once it got out in the country, people said, hey, we have a high Hispanic demographic. Can you have it translated in Spanish? And then we happen to be an all-Christian organization board of directors. And the one lady that worked for us said, I feel like God's saying, don't leave me out of this. So we developed a Christian edition. We have a Bible study that's awesome that goes with it. And it's a way to get the conversations going in the church. So we offered it once. It's very, very new. The Christian edition. Up at our table when you go up, everyone's welcome to a free. This is the Christian edition of the Parent Handbook. So if you haven't gotten one, we have a table up there. I'm trying to leave these here just because we may look through them as a group down here. The Bible study was called the 5-8 Project, and it's here, and it's pretty cool. But I also wanted to let you know that when I started this 10 years ago, the book was written for parents of high schoolers. Well, then the middle schoolers said, we need something for our parents then. So we modified it a little, but it's the middle school, high school edition, and it was secular. And now we have just launched a brand new prevention program here in Louisville through JCPS. And through Oldham County Schools, where we're targeting fourth grade parents. That's the only way to get in front of this, because now these little darlings have cell phones. And that's opened up social media, and social media has opened up anxiety, and anxiety leads to depression, and depression leads to substance abuse. I didn't know any of this before, but this is the trends. This is what your school counselors are dealing with. And our philosophy at Operation Parent is we need to pull this back on us. The number one influence in your child will always be their mom and dad first. It doesn't matter. They might have a great teacher, a great counselor, a great coach, but I think the way we're pre-wired is we don't want to disappoint mom and dad first. So if we can get it in the fourth grade level, so the elementary edition, obviously we could pull a lot of issues out. We don't need to talk about driving and drunk driving and prom and spring break and all that. So it looks little and it's non-threatening and it's taken off like wildfire now. And it's I love it because it's just very simple. It's like, okay, talks about giving a kid a cell phone, talks about social media, talks about medications in the home. It's all that stuff that you wouldn't normally be thinking about, but I think right now everybody's thinking about the opiate and the heroin problem in our community and how do we get in front of this thing. So I'm like, if you want to get in front of this, we have got to put some resources towards prevention. I believe me, I understand treatment and recovery, how important that is, but what if we could get in front of this and we didn't have to go there? And I believe we can. We just haven't put the focus enough on prevention. And so we want to do it in the public schools, the private schools, the churches, wherever you find parents, we'd love to get that conversation going. And that's essentially who we are. So I was just going to bring up our website real quick so you could see it and be familiar with it. It's brand new. It's not done by any means. But if you were to visit us after you leave here today, I just wanted you to see it. We just went through a rebrand. So we have a new look. Get us up to the home page. I'm still learning how to do it, so bear with me. So it's just operationparent.org. We'll take you to the home screen. And if you scroll down on the home screen, you'll see the key issues we cover. We are in the process of taking that first book, and our newest book has 7 chapters in it. We're going to try and squeeze that down to 5 so it's not quite so overwhelming. And the new chapter titles would be like Parenting Basics, 21st Century Technology, Mental Health and Wellness, Drugs, Alcohol, and then Relationships. And all those issues will fit under there. And then who do we serve? Who needs Operation Parent? We really are out there everywhere we can be. So there's a place for parents to go, there's a place for schools to go, for our churches to go, and then we serve these coalitions. They're called drug-free coalitions. They're all over the country, and that's how our resources have gone up through them. They receive federal grant money, and they're using their grant money to purchase these books and distribute them in their community. So that's if you scroll down there. So if you were interested in doing something with the churches, you would click on that. There's not a whole lot there yet, but we do have a store, so you would find our Christian handbook, our Bible study, that kind of thing. And if you go a little lower, this stuff's going to get real. Well, let's click on for churches here. And if you scroll down on the church page, there's this video. And I'm going to turn the air conditioner off just for a minute because it's kind of loud. I'm sorry I don't have good speakers. But I wanted you to meet the young man who wrote the Bible study. He did a phenomenal job. And he just has a little introductory in case you wanted, if you're here from a church and you wanted to share it with somebody, it gives you a little overview. Let me turn that off back here first. It's a little loud and it's hard to hear. Can't hear it. And I'll make it big and I'll get the volume going here. Get back here. Stop. Why are we not hearing anything? Get the speaker over here because that's low. Let me see if I hold this up, you might be able to hear it better. He said that the Bible study was written to spark conversations with parents and their kids.
And students and families and churches that just don't.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I'm doing something wrong here.
Normally happen in the normal routine of life. We want to talk about issues that are always out there and that everybody's dealing with, but nobody's really talking about. So from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective, we wanted to address issues like depression, like substance abuse, like all these things that teenagers face throughout a normal school year and throughout life. And the reason we wanted to address it from this perspective is because Jesus Christ came into a real world, came into a world full of real people who are sinful, who are messed up, and he came to save us, and that salvation affects everything we do, affects every issue that we speak to. And so we as Christians don't want to be people who are just known for what we're against and saying no to this and saying no to this, but people who live out of this identity that we're saved by Jesus Christ, and that affects all of life. And so I'm excited to use this Bible study with my church in a number of different ways. One, with students, just in their own small group Bible studies, but even with parents and helping spark conversations with them, and then they can talk with their students at home. And you can use it as with a group of just moms, with a group of dads in a men's Bible study. There's a number of ways you can use it, but the goal here is to spark conversations rooted in Scripture that are going to point us all towards God, even as we address these issues.
I don't know if you could hear that at all. I'm sorry. That would be wonderful. I brought a speaker, but I didn't have a way of connecting it. It's going to save the day. That's awesome. Thank you. That'd be great. And if you couldn't hear that, basically, Cam works with young people and students, and he said the Bible study is written to spark conversations. And it's really cool because what it does, this Christian edition of the handbook takes the exact same table of contents. It's written a little bit more from a Christian perspective. And at the bottom of each page, in addition to the trends and the warning signs and all that, it says, what's the Bible have to say? And it links Scripture to these very issues, these very contemporary issues. And the Scriptures are written out in the back of the book. So it's a way for a parent to start thinking about, how do I connect my faith or what the Word says with these issues I'm trying to parent through? I mean, what the heck did God have to say about social media? Well, he had a lot to say about what comes out of our mouths. You know, so it's a very interesting, fun study. How are we doing on time? We go to 10:25. I was going to pass these Christian handbooks out and the Bible studies for you to take a look at. Is that okay with everybody? And I'll put half on this side. Again, I need you to leave the books if you can, but you can get one of these up at our exhibitors table, okay? I'll pass that. So you can get a feel for it. And I don't know which you can shout out at me what your interest is. Were you here to learn about in addition to this Bible study, we also do webinars. And these are really catching on. Instead of asking busy parents to come to the school to get information, they're signing up for these webinars. And we take each of these topics and find experts, or we lead some of them. And about twice a month, they can if you just get us your email address, you'll get an update when the next webinar is. So that's kind of a neat way to deliver information to parents today. And that's what we're launching with JCPS and Oldham County Schools is about. It's about using technology. My daughter, who was in the dating relationship, thankfully, we had to pull her out of school, bring her home, settle things down. And she is now married, love the guy, got two beautiful grandchildren from her, and she works at Operation Parent, which is great. Because now she's seeing. She's got these little kids. She's in her 30s, and this is who we want to reach. This is your fourth grade parent. And she's like, Mom, you're going to miss an entire generation if you don't get this stuff on the phone. So if we can get some grants, we're going to convert these books to e-books. We're going to do it right. And parents will be able to just, they're going to talk about anxiety this month. Click on this link. Oh, and wait till you hear this. So we're going to, with this 21st century prevention, we're going to get, That was? You want to hear it again, what he had to say? Okay. Let's see if I can. Thank you. This is B. Okay. Where was I? I have to go back to the website.
The reason we developed this Bible study was to spark conversations between parents and students.
So excited.
We're going to talk about issues that are always out there that everybody's dealing with, but nobody's really talking about. So from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective, we wanted to address issues
like depression, like substance abuse, like all these things that teenagers face throughout a normal school year and throughout life. And the reason we wanted to address it from this perspective is because Jesus Christ came into a real world, came into a world full of real people who are sinful, who are messed up, and he came to save us, and that salvation affects everything we do, affects every issue that we speak to. And so these Christians don't want to be people who are just known for what we're against and saying no to this and saying no to this, but people who live out of this identity that we're saved by Jesus Christ, and that affects all of life. And so I'm excited to use this Bible study with my church in a number of different ways. One, with students, just in their own small group Bible studies, but even with parents and helping spark conversations with them, and then they can talk with their students at home. And you can use it as with a group of just moms, with a group of dads in a men's Bible study. There's a number of ways you can use it, but the goal here is to spark conversations rooted in Scripture that are going to point us all towards God, even as we address these issues.
Great. That really helps. Thank you.
Jean.
Yes, ma'am.
Those webinars are recorded.
They're live and recorded, so if you miss it, if you just register, you'll get the recorded the next day, and you get the handouts. It's really, really neat, and we have parents that are registering from all over the country, so it's kind of neat that you don't feel alone anymore. You know, they're having the same problems here as they're having, you know, in Minnesota. Exact same issues. Parents are like, how the heck do we get in front of this? And I think by pulling it back to us, I think we can get it. But a lot of us rely on the school to do it or the church to do it, and they can help. But that kid, if he's going to decide whether or not he's going to smoke pot, it isn't going to be because, I don't think, because he's going to disappoint his church or his school. It's going to be because if he doesn't do it, it's because mom and dad, he doesn't want to let them down, because we talked about it. We talked about what it can do to the brain. And you have to overcome all, you have to think about these things. A lot of times, I didn't want to go have these conversations because I was not a good child, a teenager. And I didn't want them asking me, did you drink? Did you have sex? You know, all this stuff. So you think, we won't even go there. But that's not the right approach. There's ways to do this. Your kid needs to have the conversation. They need to hear it from you. And sometimes the biggest mistake we make is to assume they absorb it because they live in our house. But if and you've modeled it, and you're like, I don't know where that came from. But did you ever sit down and talk to them? Because I almost lost my daughter when she was in that dating relationship. She was going down a path we just didn't understand, and I was afraid to have the conversation. And finally, we had to draw a line in the sand because she was setting such a bad example for the little kids watching this. It was affecting our marriage. We were worried about her, but she was making these choices. And so we had a very hard conversation for me to say, you need to decide today whether you're part of this family or you're not. And I didn't know what she would pick. And she chose, we were getting ready to go on a family vacation, and she chose to get in the car. But I didn't know if she would. And she didn't either. And we made a video about that, and it'll get up on our website shortly. But it was a couple weeks after that, when I knew she was alone, that I went and sat and talked to her, and I fessed up that, listen, she had this false impression of me. And I said, I made a lot of bad choices in my life, too. And we got real real with each other, and everything changed that day. Everything. I had no idea. And she was in this dating relationship, and when we yanked her out of school, and I finally said, Amanda, do you love this guy? And she's like, no. And I said, why are you with him? And she said, I don't know how to get out. I didn't know that either. I didn't think to ask. She's very sweet. It's easy to get in relationships. It's very hard to break them off. So talk about learning a lot the hard way. So we just want to take that knowledge parents have and share it with other parents early and say, man, if you can get that relationship going and understand your role from the very beginning, that child needs to know you're going to protect them and that you're keeping up on their world. You can't live how it was when you were a teenager. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have synthetic marijuana. We didn't have heroin at our fingertips. So, we want to get parents' attention to a different world. You can so do this. Little effort, little lifestyle change, maybe with what you have going on in the house. But it is doable. We're acting, we can beat heroin. We're bigger and badder. We got a great God that wants us to. So you've got the Christian handbook in hand. You're welcome to see this Bible study. Basically, it follows along chapter by chapter. If you wanted to take a look, I don't want to overload just sitting there, but it's really fun. Like the first chapter is on technology. So you ask your parents, what's your favorite app? It's easy. And people talk about, oh, I love the maps. You know, I love being able to navigate. And you get that conversation going about technology. And then you talk about, do you always use technology and social media for good? You know, we got to model this stuff. How are we posting on social media? What do we have to say? How much are we using our phones? Are we driving and texting? We're modeling this stuff all the time for our kids. Yes, ma'am.
Is this upstairs possible?
It is to look at. We can't give it all away.
Yeah.
And we're going to adjust the price. I think it's on there, the bundle, like a handbook and a Christian handbook and a Bible study. If you get them together, it's like on there for $30 or something. We're going to probably lower that to about $15 because we want to get them out.
How are you operating? This looks like this is growing very rapidly.
It's going to take off now that we're getting this technology piece behind us. So we just grew through donations and grants, and then we're lucky the sale of the handbooks is an income source for us. So we're not a nonprofit that doesn't have a product to sell. Our webinars right now are free. I think at some point we may go to some kind of a subscription model where we can just get a little bit to keep this going. But this 21st century thing, I hope you'll hear about it. We'll do a press release after Labor Day for JCPS and Oldham County Schools. We were able to get the funding to get the elementary edition of the parent handbook out for every fourth grade household in JCPS and Oldham County. So those will be distributed. Hopefully each school does it a little differently. In Oldham County, they'll go home in a take-home Tuesday folder. And at JCPS, we're not real sure how they'll get theirs out. And then we're going to reinforce that information with 5 videos that we're going to launch throughout the school year. Short videos that hopefully parents will find entertaining. And we thought, just to give them a little 3 to 5 minute, hey, the first one's on anxiety, because anxiety is epidemic. And so we're like, who could we get that, you know, we thought about locally here, who could be our narrator for this? And then we started thinking about celebrities. Maybe we could get a celebrity to narrate for us. So we just on Friday, for anxiety, for our elementary parents, got Jennifer Lawrence's mom, Karen Lawrence, to be the narrator. And they've had a lot of anxiety issues with Jen. And we don't talk about Jennifer at all. We just talk about her as a mom parenting through anxiety. Karen Lawrence, by the way, started Camp Hi-Ho here in Kentucky. I didn't know that. It's a huge camp for kids. So she's actually very knowledgeable. And she sees firsthand the anxiety we're seeing in our children. They don't have any downtime. And she runs this camp where kids can come out and pet goats and, you know, go on scavenger hunts and just be kids and play. And they take the technology away. And so she ended up just being the perfect person. So gracious. And we'll edit that all down. And hopefully parents will be curious if they see Karen Lawrence's name on the video. And we're not sure. The next one will be, we hope to do one on cyberbullying, on alcohol and medications, healthy eating habits. And then the last one will be on vaping, because these kids are coming into middle school vaping. So we got to get in front of it fourth, fifth grade. And we're all kind of confused about vaping. Is it harmless? Is it, you know, parents think it's a way to help kids stop. Pardon?
What about gangs?
Gangs? Don't have that on the radar.
I have a fourth grader, and he comes in and talks about the gang violence.
In fourth grade? Wow. Yeah, thank you. And that's what we want this to do. We want this to reflect the times. So we print the book. We try to print the book every 18 months or so, 24. We had to add heroin wasn't in it originally. Human trafficking wasn't in the table of contents when we start, you know. So we try to make sure we're including things that parents really need to know about. So it could change, you know, we could end up adding that. I keep thinking, what can we take away? Because it's a little overwhelming as a parent, you know. What have we resolved here? And there's always like one more thing.
Can you be hired to come into our church or school
to speak?
What's your desire? Are you wanting the churches, from a church perspective, are you wanting the churches to take your material and facilitate it? Are you wanting to bring in your organization?
No, I think what I'd love to see happen is we can help with a little facilitator training, but that you would have the folks to be able to just offer the study there. And then in any way we can support that, we would. We obviously can't get to all the churches, but if we could equip you all to feel like you could. We have introductory videos made for each chapter, so that helps. And it's CAM, kind of setting the tone for chapter one, chapter two. So somebody says, I'm a little scared to do this. It's really conversations. The idea is just that we got to talk about these issues. So it matches some trends. You know, let's talk about the trends you see about, you know, depression or whatever, and then let's see what does God's Word have to say about that, and trying to get that connection made. But we're pretty young at this, but we're in the process of creating a leader's guide. But we did it once at Southeast Christian Church with just those two books, and it's very doable. It's very doable. We didn't even have video. Well, I think we did have the videos by then. Does that help?
So on your website, when you have those trainings like that,
Yeah, we don't have anything yet, but, you know, if somebody wanted to do it, I'd be happy to just even be on the phone with somebody for a couple hours. And you need to probably pour through the material yourself. The videos, we re-recorded those, and they're not up on the new website yet for you to watch the intro videos. I'll try and get, even if it's the older ones, they work fine. So that would give you another feel for it. But I don't think there's anything to be afraid of wanting to do it or need more than the two books and just say, okay, let's talk about, you know, it reads you right. The Bible study even gives the answers, and we do have an answer key. I mean, there's no real wrong answers on some of this stuff, but you'll have what you're trying to get parents to draw out of the conversations written in there. So I don't know. That's our plan. Mostly we're real excited about having this opportunity to do prevention on a district-wide basis and not do this hit or miss. All of my 10 years, it's like this school, yeah, they're big on prevention and you can come in and talk to the parents, but that's like a one and done and it's one school. Every parent needs this. And that's why we feel like let's get early enough, first enough. This program's designed to hit fourth grade, sixth grade, and ninth grade. Those are your big transitional years, but we only got funding right now to try and do the fourth grade, which is fine. We need to learn. But we'll develop those videos, and we're going to be trying to get the schools to drive the parents to our website. There'll be a landing page, and they'll just click. They'll register. There'll be a drop-down menu. They'll say JCPS, and they'll find their school, and they'll click on that. And we'll be able to go on the back end and say to JCPS or to our donors, this many parents came from this school and watched two of the five or four of the five videos this school year. And the average length of time they stayed, you know, because that's what's so neat about doing this stuff digitally. There's actually data we can measure. And how can we tweak our marketing so we get more parents to come over and watch the videos? Well, and then while they're there, we hope they find our other resources or get an e-newsletter, sign up for a webinar. But we're going to add podcasts so that any parent that wants it any time can get it when they want it. And the other thing this overcomes is the stigma of having to walk into a school to hear about this stuff. Let me just do it when I'm on my break at work. You know, I can either watch the webinar or, you know, watch this 3 to 5 minute video from Karen Lawrence talk about anxiety. And in that, she'll give, you know, warning signs. And it's pretty cool. We're really excited. And if anybody has any suggestions or questions, boy, just this is... by parents, for parents, but anybody else that can benefit, hallelujah.
Jean, what about lower-income people that don't have access to internet and they go to school?
Yeah, I guess, you know, for the most part, we've been asking how can we... The schools kind of said almost everybody has a cell phone. So, yeah, if they could get the internet... I know they can go to a library. I know they could go to any school.
Well, I think one of the reasons there... quite a bit of ministry in our local jail.
Okay.
And there are we have a men's team and a women's team. And a lot of the women that are incarcerated there are younger women,
they have drugs,
and they have kids, they have addiction, they have all those problems multiplying.
But no cell phone and
no cell phone,
yeah.
No access, no library.
We went into the prison once and got to do a program with the men, and it was awesome. You know, they were hungry to go back when they were released to be a different dad. And I loved that, but I don't know how to overcome that, you know, on a big basis. How do we do it? I don't know.
There are some people that are just not
tech savvy. Yes.
So I can get on there and mess it up real fast.
Yes, so I just learned from a gentleman yesterday that there's a way to take our books and make them readable to people. So if the language, you know, they're not highly educated, you know, we can't make 100 different editions to suit everybody, but there's software, if they had a phone or something, that will read the book to them. And that's, I'm like, that's cool. Or for the blind, you know, or whatever. So we'll keep trying to tweak as we have funding to do so. But we're a nonprofit, so it's donations, grants, and handbook sales that keep us going.
One of the things that, just an FYI, if there's a different way you can find names without Staples, because we cannot even take this into sales without Staples.
Only paperback and stuff.
So that may be something to think about, look at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Or we could share the file with you and you could get them printed and put them, you know, the way they need to be.
As long as you're going to save
them. Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that. But that's probably what we'd do in that situation. We'd probably put the burden on the organization. Here's the information in a file you can use. You can get it, find it however.
Correct. It would be a great teaching aid to be able to just go through one of these a week.
Yeah.
Whatever with them.
Yeah, I'd love that. I'd love that.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, that would be great. And again, we have English, Christian, and Spanish editions. Hopefully we'll do more languages. JCPS has like 110 languages in it now. But, you know, I'm not sure we can accommodate that. We get the Spanish books back from the printer, and none of us know how to read. I'm like, I guess it looks good. I don't know how to proofread this. Looks good.